You're listening to Batuclecast, Season 6, Episode 22, Grave. Giles returns from England in an attempt to stop Willow, but in the end, it is her oldest friend who reaches through her pain and stops her from destroying the world.
Wow.
Oh, blech. And there's music.
Yeah, soon. There you go.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Oh, hey, we can hear it this time. My name is
Sorry. Inside joke, sorry.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Nick.
Nick, how
Nick,
are you?
Welcome. Our first guest.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time I was on.
Oh.
I wasn't one of your first guests. I was one of the first people to send feedback, I think you said.
Probably so. Okay, so have you, like, since, like, graduated from college, gotten married, had children, gotten divorced, or...
Let's see, when did you all start?
Early 19th.
1970. We started in 2010.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if it was before or after I graduated from college.
Okay, so you are...
Because I graduated in 2010, but it was right around then.
It was June 17th, 2010.
Okay, so I graduated like a month before that.
Okay. Wow. All right, so let's talk about this season 6 finale.
Oh, this was the finale?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. That old chestnut.
We got a commentary from...
Yeah, that's
David
the rumor.
Curry ...and...
Jim Cotner.
Oh, I thought you meant mine.
Oh.
No. Can we listen to that yet or no?
No, I don't think so, eh?
No.
Steph?
No.
Guys?
I listened to it just like a week ago. You can't.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, because I guess they did kind of talk about season 7.
A little bit with what happens at the end of this, of course, with Spike. They talk about what's coming up for Spike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, I would like to know. Mm. No, wait a minute.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well, he experiences a moment of true happiness with Faith. And then...
Ew.
It's like all your favorite things at once. And actually, Xander gets in there and Dawn, and it's this crazy thing.
Wow.
Tara comes back from the dead for you.
Oh my God, it's the best episode ever. It's all my dreams coming true.
These better be foilers.
They are.
Let's get into it.
Good.
Good episode.
Yeah, so.
No?
Pardon?
Just off the cuff reactions. Good episode, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I started enjoying it. I liked it, and then I didn't like it. Wait, no. How did it go exactly? I really liked it. I cringed, and then I didn't like it so much, and then I started liking it some more, and I started liking it some more, and then I cried a little, and then, oh my God, that last scene!
All right.
Yeah, that's else.
That yeah, sums it up.
It was
good
okay.
Night, guys.
Okay.
Fun fact, Joss actually told James Marsters that he was going to get his chip out so that he would play it that way.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
That makes sense because I was totally thrown for a loop at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You get your soul back. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Because
I thought he was just wanted to be a vampire again.
I know.
I spent like the whole show waiting for that to happen, actually.
Really? Okay.
I
was expecting it.
Oh my God, because
I was not.
Especially because the way he was talking at the beginning of the whole quest to get his wish, I was thinking he was wishing to go back to, yeah, the pre-chip ways where just being bad all the time. So he could. I did not know that's what he was angling for. No clue.
Well, does
or was he even? Spike, was that a surprise?
Does Spike know what he was bargaining for? Because he's just said he wanted to go back to the way it was. Did he mean Spike is soul, or did he mean vampire?
No, I think Spike wanted to be a full blown vampire again, and then the guy surprised him at the end by giving him his soul back.
Because the whole thing was, though, wait a minute. They said, like, okay, well, I want to go through this trial, so I get the one thing I really want. Well, maybe he thought that he wanted, but they knew deep down that he really wanted his soul back?
Mm-mm.
I don't know!
No, this monster's just being an asshole genie.
I'll
give you your wish, but I'm going to make you regret it.
There's nothing in the show that explicitly contradicts that. But the writers have kind of contradicted that.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, God.
Well, no spoiling, but boy, I was convinced that he wanted the chip out.
Me too.
And that's what I'm sticking with so far.
Me too.
A lot of people were.
Yeah, that revelation was another audible gasp on an airplane that freaked out all the people sitting around me.
Well, that would be great then if he thought he was going to be a vampire again and I was going to go back to being old William. That will be pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
I can't wait for him to be all nebbish.
Sure.
That'd be awesome. So, anyone else want to turn off the TV and throw shit when Buffy and Giles started giggling?
Yes! Terrible!
What was that all about?
That was the
worst.
Well,
they said SMG can't laugh on cue. They said
it's well known.
They said she can do anything else, but she can't laugh.
She just looked really awkward.
I couldn't figure out, like, for a few moments, I was like, are they under a spell? Like, what's so funny? Like, none of this is funny. What is going on?
It would have been funny if, like, they stared at each other, Giles laughed for, like, a second or two, and then they cut away to another scene. They let it breathe for so long that it became uncomfortable. I was like, what the hell is this?
I was not
impressed. Well, and it was so weird because, you know, we have all this action. Then Giles puts Willow in that, he encases her so they can go off.
In
so
the donut of
so
doom.
Giles and Buffy can go off and have exposition in the other room. It's so weird.
On their giggle fit. Which is
go off and have exposition? Sounds like a euphemism.
That's what I call it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go over here.
Because it involves exposing things, right? No, it's very dark.
You just don't want to get arrested for indecent exposition.
Ooh, like on Heroes.
So in the commentary, they talk about they knew in season 5 that it was going to be the big matchup between Giles and Willow. And they said they blew all the budget on the musical.
Okay. Yeah.
Was that why the special effects sucked so hard?
Uh huh. They wanted to have the dragon that came out of the portal.
At the end of season 5.
Season 5. They wanted to have Buffy fight the dragon, but that was too expensive. And there was a lot of things they wanted to do that were too expensive they couldn't afford. And then they talked about how Giles had been off in England being Ripper because there was going to be a television show about his days being Ripper.
Still waiting for that.
Wow.
Okay. Still waiting. Giles acknowledges that Buffy cut her hair.
Oh, I'm poor Anya. I'm blonde. That was hilarious.
And instead of the dirt monsters, they wanted them to be tar monsters.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
But water is expensive.
Water is expensive.
Water graphics, yeah.
They wrote a draft, but it didn't resonate. they had to have her crawl out of her grave again.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be kind of bookended, but this end, it's on her own terms.
It's a really good juxtaposition, how it's all dark when she comes out in the beginning of the season, and it's bright, and there's unrealistically beautiful trees everywhere when she comes out this time.
And the smog of the California skyline. Yeah. So that was her grave that she was in? I didn't even...
I didn't realize that.
No, it was just me. Metaphorical coming out of the ground again.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay.
Which is why it's called grave.
Oh.
I was like, why is this called grave?
And they kind of spend the whole season earning that resurrection, really. That's what I feel.
Hmm.
That it's only now that she's really back.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I think she even said toward the end, like, of course I care because this is what I'm fighting for, or whatever. I don't remember her exact words. Something
she
along
kinda, she kind of comes back to life more than she has in the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the whole season she's been trying to avoid Dawn. She's been holding Dawn at, like, an arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Dawn is acting out because she wants her sister's, you know, to be close to her sister, and that's why she's a kleptomaniac.
Yeah. And Dawn is kind of what, like, reminds her why she has to keep fighting and why she has to keep doing all this day-to-day nonsense and why she has to sling burgers at the Double Meat Palace. It's all basically for Dawn. If it was just herself, then she wouldn't have any reason to keep going on. But it's because of Dawn, and I think that's kind of why she has to marginalize her in certain ways.
I don't know. I think that's kind of a stretch. I mean, like, in the sense that they have to keep reminding us because everybody hates Dawn.
Well, yeah.
Is what I'm trying to get at.
That's television, they kind of have to remind them of everything every week.
Yeah, after they just reminded us that she was a ball of light.
Yeah.
Before and, like, she was a real girl.
And I hate when they do that because then she'll have a line in the episode like, Giles is back! You didn't even tell me! And I was like, oh, we've got bigger things to worry about. John.
She's the worst. I may have expressed as much on my commentary.
When she said that line, I just was like, ugh, shut up.
But her lipstick is very becoming. I will say it's a very nice shade.
All right. I'm going to read an email from someone who wrote us an email combining feedback for both To Go and Grave. It is Dylan. Salutation, Gaxon guests. Just a quick congratulations as you have ventured past the point of no return. Being only one season left to finish the series, you are now kind of, sort of, contractually obligated to stick with it till the end. So no more, that's it, I quit, comments allowed, okay? Listen, Dylan, I appreciate the sentiment, but I'm going to threaten to quit if I want to threaten to quit, okay? All right, back to the email. No, I'm not. I don't think I've ever threatened to quit. Have I threatened to quit?
I do weekly, so...
I think you said so once. If something didn't happen, that happened, so you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, after watching this last two episodes, you will most likely come to terms as to why this season seemed to have no direction from the start. Characters did stupid shit, villains were lame, story arcs made no sense, the whole thing felt aimless, even though some great moments and memorable episodes were had along the way. But it all amounts to these last two episodes, where I guess the villains in the end turned out to be our main characters themselves, victims to their own flaws and mistakes. It may seem like a cop-out to some, but for me, it's a refreshing change of perspective, and yes, a little mushy too, but most importantly, our heroes are forced to grow and change as a result, which will hopefully change the dynamic between them going forward. And who was our reluctant hero in the end? Xander. Of all people, it wasn't a big brawl or a vulgar display of power between Buffy and Willow, as you would have expected, but instead it all came down to just reaching out, more in, to Willow with honesty and sincerity, and yellow crayons, which is kind of more satisfying than just another fight. We know you were expecting certain things to happen to certain peoples. Willow kills Buffy, Dawn ceases to exist, etc., etc. Instead, another thing happened that I hope it never crossed your mind until it actually happened. Yes, I'm talking about Spike. What is that going to be about, eh? An explosive and emotional final ride, nonetheless. Can't wait to hear your comments. Loved it? Hated it? And of course, curiously looking forward for your predictions as to what's next for the Scoobies. Also, happy holidays! Aww. In case we don't hear from you again.
Most likely.
Hey, Dylan, that's a funny joke you had there about us not recording and posting every week. But it's okay. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate it. Guys, talk amongst yourselves.
I'll be back. Side note for this. Were these two episodes aired as like a two-hour finale, or were they actually two separate? Okay.
Oh, okay. Then, okay, good.
Pretty good 2 hours, so.
Yeah, and they're like joined together on some of the DVDs, too, so you can't actually stop in between them without knowing where the pause point is.
I think people will figure it out when Giles shows up.
Well, yeah.
That was amazing.
Okay, this is something. Okay, you know when that's you know, it's pretty cool when Willow convinces Anya to let her out of the veil. You know, that's so cliche. You've seen that a million times, but I don't know. I thought it was really interesting.
Right, yeah.
And then Willow goes into the back room where Buffy and Giles are, and she throws the knives at him. Well, David Fury complains that he got a lot of complaints from viewers that said that Willow has done that before.
When?
Glory. She threw knives at Glory.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember.
Well,
I don't even remember Glory.
To defend himself, he was saying that
favorite.
Back in Fear Itself, Willow did the spell with the locator spell. It was the light that got him out of the haunted house, and that Tara did the same thing. She did a locator spell back in season
6, episode 1.
Who cares? Sorry, come on.
But, I mean, we expect for the show not to do the same thing over and over, to up themselves, to do something, if they do, to do it better the next time. And his defense was that, well, it makes sense to him that if a witch tries a spell once and it works really well, that she'll do it again.
Yeah.
But I could tell in his voice, he was like, he was annoyed that the audience complained about that.
I would. Well, also in his defense, at that time, you didn't have, you know, previous episodes available at the touch of your, you know, click of the mouse. You had to seek it out, you know, recorded on VHS at the time. Go back to it. So they probably thought, well, half the audience maybe have not seen this before. So let's do it again. Who knows? I'm just nitpicking
here. Well, I mean, it makes sense tactically that if it works really well, you're going to use it again.
Yeah. Novel concept. What else happened? So, Gabby, why didn't you like part of this episode?
I thought that the whole yellow crayon thing was a little too schmaltzy.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And now, especially after having gone back and watched them together, I'm like, oh, here's my Xander rant, where I remember somebody said, after I said I hate Xander because of what he did to Anya, and then I can't remember, somebody said, well, your attitude might change. It still doesn't, because that was still a dick move.
To Anya.
To Anya. So I still don't like Xander, even though he talked his best friend out of destroying the world by tapping into her, because I don't know. I just, Yeah, again, so what I was trying to say is, yeah, from watching the episode right before it, I'm like, oh, so they're leading up to it where, oh, shucks, I'm Xander. I'm the weaker one here, and I never fix anything. I'm just a big screw-up. I can't offer anything to the Scoobies. Wah, wah. And then he saves the world.
But I'll save the world. Yeah,
so I don't know, like, the whole, like, poor me, I'm Xander. Uh-huh. I can't do anything right. Well, because he makes bad decisions and he's
made it. But yeah, that those character beats they don't make sense to me either. I don't uh-huh. know how I was supposed to feel about him.
Well, they keep setting him up for failure because, honestly, all we want him to do is apologize to Anya, right? All we have to do is apologize to her. And every time he does, he goes and he says something, and she's like, and he's not even referring to her. He's referring to Buffy, or he's referring
to Willow.
To Willow. Or,
and then she has to remind him, I was talking about us.
Exactly.
Hello.
Exactly. And I was like, why are they doing this to him?
Yeah,
really?
I just can't even uh-huh. with him. And I don't know, like, I felt like that whole yellow crayon thing, I'm sorry, maybe I'm a big robot all of a sudden, but normally I'm the first one that whenever there's kind of sentimentality, I tear up and somehow I can, you know, think of something in my life where, you know, it resonates with me. But with that, I just rolled my eyes the entire time. That whole bit where it was just uncomfortable seeing them in actual natural light was just weird. Uh-huh. And then that, oh my God, the semi pornographic, but not really statue coming out of the ground is very bizarre. And I'm just like, it was just so fucking ridiculous. And then, oh my God, the world's going to end. And then the yellow crayon speech. And then, yeah, but I will say, whenever friends of mine have told me that they love me, I do also shoot them with lightning bolts. that does happen in real life when people say that to try to calm me down, so I buy that. No, but I'm really, really, really happy the season's over, but I don't trust it, and I can see something happening and then on a, you know, just like that, Willow goes back to being bad because everybody seems to like that more.
Yeah. Well, the part that I disliked the most was when Andrew and Jonathan just turned around and ran to Mexico or whatever the hell they're doing.
Oh, what was that? The weird truck scene was so strange.
Yeah,
that
just
was actually added.
It had to be.
The network wanted to see Andrew and Jonathan again.
Oh,
It got me so angry. Them stranding these Scoobies that pretty much saved them, you know, and they just ran away. And I was like, really? Like, that's the big payoff of the trio? Like, at least Warren had his comeuppance, but these two run away like two little bitches?
Yeah. In the previous episode, Jonathan was like, we're going to have to go back to jail. We're going to have to pay for what we did. And then in this episode, the first chance they get,
they run.
They show their true colors and they're really sleaze balls, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, he's going to have a little, you know, again, I'm still waiting for the time when everyone's like, oh, we love Jonathan. Jonathan's so great. And I was like, really? For running away? Unless he and Andrew come back in season 7 to redeem themselves.
Those people just like Jonathan because he just rises from this inconspicuous nothing in the background, an extra, and then becomes, you know, part of the trio and all that.
But
it is like that he's there all the time. And when you go back on second watch and you don't have people saying, oh, Jonathan, every time he shows up, first time you start noticing him for the first time, like, oh, that's Jonathan.
But I was like, oh, that's just so, I don't like how they wrap that up.
Yeah. Hardy har har, they're in a truck with a big truck driver that's looking at them in a certain kind of way.
They're going to get their comeuppance.
Are we talking about rape?
Yeah, you know, more rape.
Yeah.
The ultimate early 2000s yeah. joke.
Oh. Because that's hilarious, of course.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Of course.
Oh, and the statue, the temple that rises out of Kingsman's Bluff.
Yeah.
They said that they wanted it to look like it was burning with fire from you know, inside and radiating out.
Yeah,
but it just looked like it was pink.
Yeah.
With like a cheap light bulb inside.
Yeah.
It looked like my Christmas pig when it lit up.
Yep. Oh, did you buy the pig?
Christmas pig.
I saw it like the day before you posted that.
Yeah, Christmas pig is awesome. I think I'm going to change out Christmas pig's hats for the seasons and leave them out all the time. Pretty awesome. Yeah, I don't know. And I was just ranting about Xander and the schmaltzy yellow grand speech.
Well, and like Chris was saying earlier, that there's a lot of times people complain about Doctor Who finales that everything is wrapped up with because of love.
I wasn't expecting the all because of love ending. But when I saw I liked it too, because when I saw Xander, I was like, oh yeah, Xander's can save the day.
Because they reminded us
something right.
They reminded us at the very beginning of Two to Go that he is Willow's oldest and best friend.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Which I forget all the
time. He always reminds us of it. Constantly. I'm Willow's best friend. I'm her oldest friend.
I keep forgetting.
Wow. He doesn't let you.
But at the end, we can still be upset with him because he still hasn't apologized to Anya.
Yeah, see? That's the thing.
He's both. He's a dick and he's loves his friend.
Yeah.
And I think that makes for a well-rounded character.
I guess.
Yeah, but the saving the world thing doesn't stop me from hating him and thinking he's a dick.
That's fine.
Because
he is.
Because he's a total dick.
But with all that being said, for me, I think Xander's still my favorite character. Yeah.
Really?
He's one of my favorites.
And then Evil Willow second.
Evil Willow's my favorite. I'm with Illyrio on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nah, Vainy Willow, not so much.
I really enjoyed the Dark Willow storyline. First time I saw it, I was squeeing as much as Illyrio did.
It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Sorry I had to go away for a little while, guys, but I'm back now. If we've already covered these topics, please just let me know. The way that Anya was manipulated by Willow was really funny.
Yeah, I had said that it was kind of, we've seen that before a million times, but it was really entertaining how it went about.
Mm-hmm. I especially thought it was, it was the whole Jedi mind trick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was pretty fantastic. Hey, anyone else convinced Giles was going to die?
No.
Really? I thought he was going to die.
I didn't think he was going to die.
I figured Joss Whedon's going to kill someone.
Nope.
Might as well be the guy he just brought back to save the day.
Would be a good excuse not to have him in season 7.
Exactly.
I thought it was a good motivator for Buffy. Because Anya said, I don't think he's got a lot of time left. And then she teleported out of there, obviously. But I was worried he was going to die. No.
Yeah. I'm not worried about anybody dying at this point. No.
Yeah, that's not the trend in television at that time.
Yeah, I think they already had their shocking death for the season.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to bring back Giles, our savior, Big Daddy, to take him away again.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. I don't know where the fuck it came from.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas I think, like, TV today, they can kill off any character because that's just the trend now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, when you'd watch stuff, you would never worry about the main cast.
Jaws is kind of like a pioneer in killing off mm-hmm. characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bastard killed Jenny Calendar.
Oh, it's too soon.
Which is exactly where I went to
years.
No, but guys, when Giles is leaning up against that column and tells Willow, so someone you care about dies and everyone else in your life, the people who love you and care about you, they don't matter anymore. Like, I immediately flashed to, he knows what you're feeling.
That's his right, girlfriend he did go all vengeance on
murdered.
Angel. And the first thing he did was try to get vengeance with a big flaming torch.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yes. But he didn't disregard his friends.
Nope. He didn't try to
punch him in the face, though.
Hmm. I suppose.
He didn't try to end the world.
Yeah, okay. But what did you think about Willow? She wanted to destroy the world, like... She wanted to, like, mercy kill humans because we were in so much pain because she could feel our pain.
Massive mandatory euthanasia.
I think it meshes really well with the season, that it's all about how life is pain and life is really kind of the big bad overarching the season. And so it kind of meshes with that kind of theme, and that's what they have to resolve by the end of it. So I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically all this drama just to for everybody to put on their big girl panties.
Basically. Sure.
I don't know. That's what I'm like, I get it. I mean, it was a horrible it was a horrible tragic thing that happened.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to destroy the world because you're sad because you and your estranged girlfriend got back together. Just suck it up and move on. Same thing with Buffy. So they brought you back. They brought you back from the dead. That was awful. It wasn't necessarily the best thing. Apparently, that was the happiest you'd ever been was when you were dead and in a hat. Deal with it and move on.
Hmm.
I sound like an asshole.
Right? Yeah, no, you don't.
Well, I mean, in real life, you do have to deal with it and move on. But when you have that kind of power, why wouldn't you go for it?
Yeah, I
totally agree with everything.
And
we
know that Willow likes the easy way out of stuff, so.
Yeah, and that's what the magic represents for her, of course.
Sorry, it's the magics.
The magics.
They really played up the magics as her drug. She even said, I'm a junkie. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm so juiced up. I was like,
guess the rehab didn't take it.
Yeah. Like, I've never liked the magics referred to the drug and junkie thing, but I guess it works.
Yeah, it's a little ham-handed as metaphors go.
What else happened?
Yeah, she was totally juiced. That was a little weird. Those were a couple of the cringeworthy moments. The laughing.
I think you have a delay.
Yeah, but I'm also hearing myself. I shouldn't be hearing myself if we're all wearing headphones. Yeah,
I can hear your headphones coming through the microphone.
Somebody's got it.
No, it's not me. It's someone else.
I think it's your headphones that are bleeding through into your mic. It's gone now.
Yeah. I will. I can lower
it's better
a bit, just
it's
to be
fine.
Sure. But
all
I'm
good,
pretty
no
sure
worries.
That wasn't me. Sorry for the how the sausage is made, folks.
So the laughing thing cringeworthy and her magic.
And her kind of semi-orgasmic reaction to taking Giles' magic was a little off.
They originally wanted her to be like amped up on caffeine and pacing, but it was Allison Hannigan who said she wanted to sit down and deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Because it would be like an overload. I think that would be... Well, okay, did you guys think that Giles was going to sabotage her with the good magic?
No!
I had a feeling that he knew she was going to do that. And he kind of... And he didn't kind of allude to it, but he said it when
Yeah.
He was talking with Annie, yeah. with Anya.
That was his
end.
Plan all along.
Oh, he was in a long Connor.
Yes. So.
You can think it's their idea.
I didn't put together that the good magic would take over her evil magic, but I had a feeling that he was going to sabotage her because he knew what she was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he was one step ahead to foil her plan. I don't know how he was going to do it, but I had a feeling that that was going to be it. That was right.
It seems obvious in retrospect to me. I didn't call it at the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just had a feeling that he kind of just let her. You know what I mean? Like he did put up some of a fight. But then
and again, it's like Sawyer. You got to make him think it's their idea.
That's true. That is true. That is a good point.
Yeah, the first time I watched it, I definitely had no idea what was going on. I also really couldn't hear it too well. but when I watched it this afternoon, I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. He showed, they're going to trick her, and then da-da-da-da, whatever. But I'm like, I don't know why I didn't, like, get clued into it the first time. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me.
One part that I really liked at the end when Xander and Willow had their moment and she was actually finally like crying just releasing everything with what had happened and Hera and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When she morphed from Black Willow to regular, it was so subtle. Like I even had to go back and be like, oh, okay. Cause when they cut to it, when I looked, I was like, oh, her hair's red again. And I was like, when did that happen? Then I was like, oh.
I noticed it fading back to red. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great.
It was a great little transition.
Yeah, really when she collapsed and started crying, it was like, I mean, I miss Dark Willow, but man, I felt so bad for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel bad.
It's like, even if you don't like Tara, you can empathize with Willow.
Yes. 100%. But even with the whole Xander-Willow confrontation scene, I kept having flashbacks to Good Will Hunting. I was like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
I like that that's kind of what solved it, though, and that it feels very genuine, I think. And
it's
like
better than pulling a lever.
You know, they try all these things to stop her. They're, like, trying to fight her. They're trying to take the magic away and have a physical fight. Giles tries to have a magical fight.
Yeah.
Try to talk her out of it. None of that works. What works is loving her. And I kind of really get into that.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier when you were off channel. What did you think of that scene with Xander saving the day?
The yellow crayon speech.
The yellow crayon speech, yeah.
Xander saving the day is, I think, fine. I think it's a little, I'm confused as to, was it that it was hard for her to use magic on him because she loves him and he's her oldest friend, or was it just coincidence that as he was giving this speech, she was running out of juice?
It was that Giles planned it that, hold on, I have it in my notes here. True essence of magic from the witches tapped into her humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the
it enabled her to feel again.
Yeah, and it was the yellow crayon speech at the same time. That...
Well, awfully convenient.
And I like that when Giles says it was Xander who got to her in time, and Anya kind of just goes like, "Oh," and I think back to "I wish you were never born." You know, that's what she says when she first comes back after the wedding. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and if that, you know, I'm sure she's reflecting on that, like, oh, if I had killed him, he wouldn't have saved the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he still hasn't apologized.
True.
No.
He's still a coward who could have solved that problem of his differently.
Yeah. Well, he did say that he agreed that everything was his fault. But he still hasn't said... Look, I'm sorry.
Well, he agreed that it was his fault because he should have done something when Warren came into the yard.
Yes.
Yeah, he's still oblivious. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't realize what he's done.
No.
I don't know what he thinks.
I think he knows what he's done. I don't know. He knows what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything beyond that for him. Because he does feel sorry. He just hasn't expressed it properly to her. Because, again, every time he tries, he's speaking about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets real caught up in his own self-pity.
Yeah. He's like, I'm over here, you know?
I was talking about us, you dipshit.
Aw, I can't do anything right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they mention the Alpert crypt in the commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Can you see what they said?
They just said it's here again, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's like in every episode.
Mm-hmm. But that's where Spike lives, right? Isn't that his crypt?
He lives in that graveyard, I think, but not that crypt.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Because Xander was trying to break into it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had to break into Spike's crypt. Clem just left it.
That's true. Good call.
He left it on the lock?
And Willow's tracking ball that created the crater.
Yeah.
That Buffy and Dawn fell into, and then they coincidentally the swords fell into the.
Of course.
It was the powers that be.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
What else happened? Should we read some points? Some Facebook stuff? What should we do?
We have emails. We have a voicemail from Moira. I'll play that. We'll do some emails, and then we can start wrapping
up. Okay.
Oh, I wanted to say, I think this is kind of like a response to the insane asylum thing, normal again, that, you know, if you read into it that way, and the doctor's like, oh, your villains suck, you know, and she's like, well, here's Dark Willow. And, like, so she's kind of drawing herself further into the delusion if you come at it from that angle. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that's going to explicitly contradict the idea that maybe she is just a girl in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
So I like that you can read into it either way, and mm-hmm. it gets back to the high fantasy stuff as soon as that happens, you know. So I think that's interesting.
I like when shows, they wink at themselves, you know. Like, they're all in on the joke. I think that they do it well in this episode. I think Supernatural does it best, but this was really... stuff like that, when they have little throwaway lines by, like, a random character, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Here is a voicemail from Moira.
My God, it's Moira. I just watched Grave. This has got to be my favorite season finale of all time. Giles comes back, and he's amazing, and I hope he never leaves again. I don't want Giles to ever leave again. We need his presence. We need the father figure. We need everything that he embodies. I completely lost it when Xander confronted Willow, and love conquers all, people, in the end. And, wow, he finally gets to be the hero in an absolutely genuine way, and I loved it. And Anya is going to fall right back in love with him because he was incredible and amazing. And watching Willow's heartbreak, the acting, I mean, good old Allison Hannigan gets my vote every time, because she just tore me up inside watching her dissolve into a puzzle of tears with Xander. That was incredible. And at the end, Spike gets her soul. Oh my god, so predictions, he's going to become Buffy's for real love interest. That's what I think, and I think it's gonna be amazing. Anyway, we'll see. That's what I think. So, wow, you know, really, we got to see evil Willow, and we got to see the Buffy, you know, Willow showdown, and all the things we've been kind of wishing for, and yet having it having it resolved because of Xander is just a stroke of genius. I love this one. I have nothing bad. 10 out of 10. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 out of 10. I don't know what to say for my rating scale. 10 out of 10. Love conquers all. Anyway, I'm now so far ahead of you guys, it's embarrassing because I could not restrain myself from watching. So, you aren't going to hear this for ages, but cannot wait, as usual, to hear what y'all think, because that was freaking awesome. All right, till next time. Bye for now.
Thank you, Maura. Yeah, the father figure, you know, he left in season 5 when Buffy died. And then he came back when Buffy came back.
It was the beginning of season 6, actually.
The beginning of season 6, he came back to help her get back up on her feet.
Uh-huh.
And then he's back now. I miss him, but when I really miss him, he's back again. Like, I don't...
He's never gone too long?
He's not gone too long, yeah. He comes back just in time for me.
Uh-huh.
And another thing, if we were watching Angel along with Buffy, you would have been reminded about the prophecy from Tushanshu in L.A. There's a prophecy.
About the vampire with a soul?
Yep, about a vampire with a soul. That's all I'm saying.
Shenshu. Ian writes... So we reach the end of season 6 with Grave. This season might have been difficult to get through, but so is adjusting to being an adult. Season 6 is the second in the 3-year season adult life trials in comparison to the first 3 high school trials and the 1-year difficult transition year of season 4. I'm not saying what season 7 will bring, but the spell of this season's harsh reality has been broken by Giles's return. Giles holds up a mirror to see that despite how horrible everything is while you're going through, pardon me, that despite how horrible everything is while you're going through it, it's also ridiculous in light of the bigger picture. Sadly, though, we don't get to see the majority of the Willow-Giles fight. Yeah, I know, that's true. They kind of took that away from us. While we're on Giles, what do you make of his plan to dose Willow with true essence of magic? They are once again switching the rules up on us again. Not quite light and dark magic in the way he makes it sound, but it might as well be. Also, in this finale, the writers finally realize Dawn is not a 12-year-old, but age Buffy, Xander, and Willow were at the start of all this. That's true. She's actually the same age that they were when they started.
That's true.
It's not all down to the writers, though. If Michelle Trachtenberg had acted older, then maybe the writer would have picked up on things sooner and, you know, we would have gotten a better character. Let's hope we do from now on.
Yeah.
Before we get to the end, I need to say that the effects on this episode are nowhere near stellar. The satanic demon statue looks like a plastic doll, mm-hmm. and the earth creatures seem like they came right out of season 1. Mm-hmm. As for Xander... all his feelings of helplessness in the last half seasons, specifically the previous 2 episodes, builds to this, his chance to save the day. It's hit and miss for me sometimes when I'm seeing this. It works, and at others it feels anticlimactic. Either way, the rest of the ending is oddly placed, and the addition of Jonathan and Andrew in the truck is out of place. But then we come to the cliffhanger and what Spike has been questing for, his soul. See, I don't know, Ian. I think he just wanted to chip out. I know that you'll be discussing that last one and comparing him to Angel. Bear in mind, though, that Spike sought this out and that he hasn't been placed under a curse, but had his soul mystically returned rather than being his soul forced into him through a curse. With thanks, Ian. Ian, thank you so much for the email, but I'm confused. I was sure that he wanted the chip out and that the guy surprised him with a soul.
I think it's weird.
I'm going to have to rewatch some of those, I think.
I thought it was that he was so enraged and he wanted to be a bad guy and he wanted to kill.
Me too.
Uh-huh. That the show wanted you to think that he was going to get his chip out, but he ended up, because he loves Buffy so much and he wants to be a good man, mm-hmm. that he gets it so bad.
See, that's what.
Oh, no, I get it.
Yeah, see, that's sort of what I think. I think he went into it. He was so enraged, he wanted to get the chip out because he was pissed off. But I don't think, again, I don't think he necessarily wanted this soul back because he loves Buffy so much. I think that they clue that the powers that be knew that deep down, that's what he really, really wanted, was to have a soul and have Buffy love him back. So they tricked him with it.
Oh, I hope not.
Maybe.
The magic shop. David Fury and James Hunter, they discussed that they wanted to destroy the magic shop, so it is gone.
No.
And then remember that when you watch the first episode of season 7, remember that Dawn is now the age of the Scoobies when they first started.
Hey, we have an email from Tanya. Dawn, will you help me out? Although I never taught you how to or let you do anything. Crayons! So, there's all I have to say about Grave. Smiley face. Can't wait to get to the next season. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, ever since I got a hint about potential cast from Weedon-esque a long time ago. So I've been with you all the way from the beginning. This is maybe my fourth or fifth rewatch of Buffy, and it's been a blast experiencing the series all over again with you guys. I'm not a big commenter, but I've enjoyed the journey immensely with you. I've always regarded season 6 as my favorite season, but I guess it has a lot to do with where you are with your life. Season 6 is about facing the realities of having to take responsibility for your own life. And once you get past that, season 7 seems a lot more meaningful. So I'm really looking forward to watching season 7 along with you. Tanya from Finland. Thank you, Tanya, from Suomi.
From where?
All right, we got a couple more emails. I'll read Missy's and then somebody else is going to have to read because I'm starting to lose my voice again. Oops. Sup, Gex?
Not much. What's up with you?
Sup, MP? Everything is hilarious. Suddenly, I suppose, looking at the season as a whole, it does seem absurd. I don't know about that. It was always going to come down to a knockdown dragout between Giles and Willow. Dark Will even references the argument they had back in Flooded. I remember that. It was awesome. I know. You wanted it to be Buffy and Willow, and we did get a bit of that, but it's Willow versus Giles all the way. Huh? Jonathan and Andrew scamper off to Mexico like the weasels they are.
Gets me angry.
Anya is so delightfully rude and funny. The moment she tells Giles he's not dying is my favorite. That and the look on her face when she learns Xander saved them all. Dawn finally becomes useful and helps Buffy defeat some lame root monsters. Yay, Donnie. By the way, why were they chopping off Groot's head?
I am Groot?
They were Groot.
They were Groot.
Willow is going to destroy the world, y'all. That's badass. Okay, Missy. So, Xander saves the world. Way to go, Xander. You rock. The yellow crayon speech is amazing. So say we all. And there's this little thing that happens with Spike. It's not a huge deal, really. What is it again? Oh, yeah. He got his soul back. One of my favorite reveals ever from Simone.
I have a feeling he doesn't. He did bargain for a soul back. That's what they gave him.
I can do that.
You asked for this 42-inch. You asked for this 42-inch flat panel Panasonic. Here's a 42-inch Panasonic TV. By the way, do you guys hear the little ting, ting, ting all the time?
What are you talking about? No.
Awesome, because I just want to have a little parenthesis here. Fucking Google Plus in Safari keeps telling me that something is using something, something about a version that's too far ahead, and it keeps asking me to upgrade. There's a pop-up. I can't get rid of it. It has an X on it. I click on the X. It brings me to the upgrade page. Fuck you, Google. Go fuck yourself. Your interface designers are high. They're probably off at Burning Man doing mescaline or something. The worst. Sorry. I had to rant.
It's my job.
Awesome. Anybody want to read any more? Because like I said, I'm about to...
I've got a point about when Spike went to get his soul back. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hinted at in subtle ways that maybe not everything was as it seemed. He underwent those trials without his shirt and shoes, which is kind of like when Angel underwent trials to save Darla's life.
Mm.
So that might clue you in that maybe he's trying to do a good thing here. And then the demon with the... It's pretty much just a pair of eyeballs with surrounding it, like in darkness or whatever. It's kind of like the guy that pretended to take Angel's soul away for Faith and the mayor and all that. It looks kind of like that. It's not exactly, but the look is similar. And so you might would clue into the fact that, oh, maybe something with the soul's going on here. There's subtle hints.
I guess.
Yeah, way over my head.
It's the thing you notice on like your seventh really watch.
Yeah. And your reflexes. Oh, you're so literal.
I am. I read a lot of tweets. folks, this is dwindling. Who wants to read more emails? People took the time.
I do, but I'm honestly fading fast.
Where are we at? I was like, my eyes are all blurry. I'm so tired.
All right. Sorry, I'll do it. Everybody. Bruce.
Bruce.
Grave or Season 6 review. Season 6 is quite a ride, and Xander finally did something right.
Yay, Xander.
Wait, wasn't he doing lots of things right for a year or more leading up to Hell's Bells?
No.
The first time through this season, I found the ending a little disappointing since Buffy Summers is my favorite character, but in retrospect, it was time for someone else to save the world. Buffy had more important things to do, and she's already done everything asked of a Slayer. Much of it twice, or more, since she did save the world. A lot. Mm-hmm. I see what you did there, Bruce. Nice one. Buffy was chosen. She fought, and then she died young. That's it. Everything that's expected for a Slayer's entire life cycle. As far as we know, that's all any other Slayer has ever done. Taking into account the twice part and the a lot part, it's more than any other Slayer has ever done. By the time season 6 started, Buffy was finished. Ergo, her story this season isn't about Buffy the Slayer, but about Buffy the person. Buffy's depression isn't the story, it's a symptom. Giles could be off saving the world somewhere, but this isn't his story. To give his departure more gravitas would detract from the story of how Buffy deals with his absence. It's a shame that so many people didn't enjoy more of the 22 episodes. There's some great storytelling going on in each one, with important points often made very subtly. There are plenty of great little character moments, too, like Dawn spending the afternoon holding vigil over Tara's body, something that was mentioned in your Villains podcast. Remember when we first got to know little sis back in Real Me? Buffy tried to shield Dawn from a dead body by sending her out of the magic box so the gang could investigate. It was Tara who went out to sit with Dawn so she wouldn't have to be alone. Not a biggie, but I find the bookended scenes of Dawn's arrival and Tara's departure to be very
touching. Oh,
that
just gave me chills.
Comments about Anya being responsible for the events of Hell's Bells and the multiple reasons for the trio being in the season deleted in the interest of time. Then there's Willow. Willow does have an addictive personality, but her addiction, if you see it that way, is also a symptom and not her story. Riddle be this. In Tabula Rasa, does Willow use magic because she's late getting dressed, or is Willow late getting dressed because she needs time alone to use magic?
Oh.
And this, did Amy's attitude towards Willow change in Double Meat Palace, or is that when Amy finally revealed her true attitude? Depending on how you view those two events, you get two very different storylines for Willow this season. The first possible story involves addiction and is well documented. The other is much sadder and much more interesting, in my opinion. It's all great stuff, and I hope you'll rewatch it soon. Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
Hmm. Interesting.
Food for thought.
Nikki Faith! She writes, Gabby, Illyrio, Kim, Stephanie, I kept missing the chance to write in before you recorded for the last few episodes, but here I am. I am loving that you guys have finally got to the juicy end of season 6. I've been so excited, especially about hearing Illyrio's reaction to Dark Willow. I usually cry when Tara dies, but on this rewatch, I was just thinking, yes, Illyrio's moment is here. I'm so sorry.
I messed up.
I'm a horrible person. Also, you guys get bonus points for keeping me company and keeping me happily entertained during the middle of the night feedings with my newborn. By the way, congratulations! I see the pictures on Instagram, and that is one cute baby!
A lot of hair.
Yes, lots of hair.
Thank you. I'm writing in for the Grave episode, but I'm also looking forward to your discussion on Two to Go, where Illyrio finally got his Willow Buffy battle. So, on to the finale. Epic, yes? Can't wait to hear your thoughts on Spike getting his soul, and on Xander saving the world with love. It sounds cheesy when you say it out loud, but it was a beautiful moment. I couldn't agree with you more. It was super cheesy, but it hit me hard. It hit me hard, man! I'm guessing you guys might have rolled your eyes when Buffy decided she wants to show Dawn the world. Sorry, I can't read that with a straight face. I'm sorry, Nikki.
Illyrio, have you picked your song yet for the end of this one?
No, but I think I can laugh on cue better than Sarah Michelle Gellar. Okay, I'll start over. I'm guessing you guys might have rolled your eyes when Buffy decided she wants to show Dawn the world, since most of you aren't big fans of Donnie, but I enjoyed that too. Buffy's come really, really far since clawing her way out of her grave at the beginning of the season, and her reemergence from the ground at the end of this episode with Dawn and into the sunlight was a beautiful contrast to that. Owen, how excited were you that Giles came back? Yay. It was definitely a darker season, and one that fans are split on, but I love it. It captures that time of early adulthood when so many of us are lost, or at the very least looking for our footing. I could do without some of those double meaty episodes in the middle, but it's all worth it at the end, especially for these last four episodes. What do you guys think is next? For Buffy, for Willow, for Xander, and Anya. Happy December, Nikki.
Too much.
Thank you, Nikki. So, predictions for the for what's coming up next. Gabby, what do you think is going to happen to Dawn and Willow and Xander and Buffy and Anya and who's it?
I'm not even going to lie or even try to guess or be funny because I'm not the best at that. I have no clue other than I see something happening. I don't know if it's going to be another romantic and with Willow, with something's you know, it's going to happen, some things and some stuff. No, but with Willow, I don't know.
I'm not going to spoil, sure? But there might be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be because of another romantic entanglement or something might be Spike related. I don't know, but I see something happening and Willow going bad again.
No.
Yeah,
really?
It's so easy.
I think her evil
like it's
days
so,
are done.
Just slip back out and just slip. I don't know. And I think
she's learned how to harness her magic. Sorry, I'll let you go. Then I'll have
no. Her. And then I'm kind of with Moira, where I think now that Spike's going to have a soul, that having Buffy and Spike actually have a for reals relationship of some sort. I don't know how you can go back from what happened in the bathroom, but I don't know. Like, people still love him. And he's here, and he has a soul back, so I figured that there's got to be a reason for it. I don't hate him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Other than that, I got nothing.
And the one thing you can kind of say for him is that there's no real-world parallel for having and not having a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like the one thing that can kind of let him off the hook, kind of. But yeah. you really don't want to let him off the hook at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very divisive character.
Uh-huh.
That was actually some of my first feedback I ever sent in was, I'm like, I can't wait to see how you guys fall on that one major ship and that other major ship. And that was, of course, Buffy Spike and Buffy Angel. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I did not predict the way it was going to go. Like, when you guys started getting to that after Once More with Feeling all that, I thought Kim was going to love Buffy Spike and Gabby was going to hate it.
Oh, God.
And Kim ended up really hating it.
Boy,
that's
were
so
you
funny
wrong.
Because I hated Angel and I really liked Spike this whole time.
Yeah, I mean, weird. I guess I didn't really get a good understanding of you guys. I was like back in season one. You know?
You probably had our voice.
Maybe, yeah.
Their voice is confused.
And y'all were raving over the pack, you know.
Oh, the pack. I'm sorry. That is still awesome. It is still so awesome to me. Yeah. I got no. Band Candy's the best, and Beer Bad.
I love Beer Bad.
Oh, it's so funny.
Kim?
Well, your I'd like to think that Spike didn't know what he signed up for. That's what I'd like to think. And he's going to be pissed that he has a soul when he wants to be a vampire. But it'd be so easy for him to become a vampire again. All he has to do is have a vampire bite him. Anyways, that would be too easy. I think that Anya and Xander are going to finally reach an understanding. I don't know if they're going to get back together, but I think that they're going to be amicable again. I think Willow and Xander are going to get closer, not romantically, but just friend-wise. I think we're going to see a season of Buffy passing the torch to Dawn now that she shows that she can fight. I've been watching you, you know, whatever. Ugh. I think we're going to see more of Dawn and Buffy working together, fighting evil.
No.
I know. As much as we want to see her gone, but I think that's where we're heading. And I just have a feeling that Dawn is just going to be embraced by everyone more because they want to shove it down our throats. And those are my predictions.
Dawn the Vampire Slayer?
Dawn. No way.
Predictions. There are two spoilery things that I have known about that I expected them to happen this season. They have not, so I guess they'll happen in the last season. I can't wait to have those things come and go so I can tell you guys these minor things.
I'd love it if they were like things from the comic books and you just thought you were spoiled the whole time.
No.
I know one of them.
One of them is something that
Nicholas
Brendan spoiled me on, so we'll see. But, you know, what are you going to do? The idea here for me is one of, okay, where do we go? For me, the focus is going to be Willow, and I think that Willow is probably going to feel super guilty and terrible and awful, is probably going to withdraw a little bit from a Scooby action. Not because she's upset at Buffy and or Xander, but because she feels ashamed about what happened and what actually transpired. So I think that's something that's going to happen. I think Anya is probably going to end up dying.
Aww.
And I think it'll drive Xander crazy. And for all I know, the finale is Xander in a straitjacket. But
Dark Xander.
Dark Xander.
No, not so much Dark Xander.
Xander tries to destroy the world with love.
I love you!
No, he just throws everyone in the world and leaves them at the altar.
At the altar and never apologizes for it.
I've left the longest email for last. Here we go, from Ashley. Hi, Gax and guests.
Hey.
Daddy Giles is home and he's putting his little Willow in timeout.
Boom. Yuck.
Okay, done with the caps now. That's why I was yelling so loud, because it was in all caps. Giles is back to his hot mess children. The way he came walking in, putting Dark Willow in her place with ease was so badass. Him laughing at their pain was great to me. After the real angsty season this has been, there needed to be some laughter at it all. I guess sometimes you have to laugh at the screw-ups and misery, or there's going to be a forever dark cloud over your head. Giles noticing Buffy's haircut was full of love. My own dad thinks my hair is a wig most of the time, and I don't even wear wigs. Anya wanting Giles' attention about her own hair and how the show is pointing out Anya's constantly hair change is adorably funny.
I'm yes, pretty I sure she was blonde that. When Giles left.
Yeah. Giles versus Dark Willow. This is another battle that has been a long time coming. Willow has always looked up to Giles. He always had been cautious about her using magic for years, and after the verbal showdown back in Flooded, it needed to be resolved. Dark Willow's line referencing back to that argument is one of my favorite lines in the series. I'm sure someone's going to say it as their quote. Cross fingers. Some people are not fond of Xander saving Willow in the yellow crayon. Well, I absolutely love it. If it's if there's one person who should save Willow, it should be Xander. The guy who had been her best friend since age 5. The guy who she used to love. The guy who is considered the heart of the group. Him telling her that no matter what she does, including killing him and destroying the world, he'll still love her. Like I said in the last feedback, Buffy can barely cope with living in the world. How is it fair for her to even save it?
Yeah.
Buffy still needed to snap out of it. There's one line that Xander talks about the world ending and Friends is also a big favorite of mine in the series. So kudos to Xander for finally doing something right for the first time in a long time, even if it meant him possibly dying in the end. Giles gets major credit as well, deliberately letting Dark Willow drain him, sacrificing himself on the hope that somebody can get through to her. Now on to Dawn. One issue I had with the character, Buffy, when it came to Dawn, was how much she sheltered her. Granted, in season 5, Dawn being sheltered was probably the monks doing because they wanted the key protected, but my issue is, if there's one thing the Slayer knows, it's how dangerous the world is, and her time being alive is not likely to be very limited. If I honestly was a Slayer, I would have trained the hell out of my sister, knowing that I can't be everywhere at once. Keeping her in the loop can possibly keep her from getting almost killed all the time. She's at that Scooby age, kind of even reminding me of young Scooby Xander from season 1, always ready to help, even when people refuse to let him. It's just sad that it took the world about to end to finally allowing Dawn that moment to step up and realize that. I'm just glad that they're both taking responsibility now. I love the symbolism of Buffy crawling out of the grave with Dawn, now filled with hope, as opposed to her crawling out of the grave in the beginning of the season into a nightmare. Oh yeah, Spike got a soul. Who saw that coming? I've read that even James Marsters didn't even know that's what Spike was after until they got to that scene, believing it was the chip removal. Great episode, great ending to a lot of season arcs with the kick-ass plot twist cliffhanger. 9.5 out of 10, Angel the sequels. What? Thank you, Ashley. Hey, everyone who sent in voicemails and emails. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I have no points. Anyone else want to go? And then we can rate.
Did you see Chris just sent in yellow crying?
Oh, he did? Uh-huh. Let me do that right now. Got it. Yeah. All right. It's a recording of some kind. I'm going to play it. Everyone, listen up.
Okay. Watch your sods. Yeah, I couldn't resist getting my voice on this episode as well. So, anyway, as I was saying before, Xander, no powers, you see. He's just some guy. And in the end, that's what you need. You need some guy to go on about the yellow crayon and say how much he loves the villain and have her, you know, come to her senses. And there are people who found that a bit anticlimactic, a bit disappointing. You know, it's the yellow crayon story. And I am not one of those people. I'm more the kind of crying my face in half people, as though my tears were they are. Again, that's the English. We do that. That's how we ruled the world for a bit and then felt guilty about it later. I'll trouble you with that some other time. That's the history according to Chris. Anyway, I have so little to add, other than Grave. I love it. The whole end of season 6. Brilliant. Not liked by many, but again, people are stupid.
Bah! I thought I didn't miss that. Thanks, Steph. Thanks, Chris.
So, what are your all's favorite seasons of the show so far?
Oh, man.
Why? I think it's too late for that.
It's been like 6 years since you did season 1, of course.
I don't even remember parts of other seasons right now.
There was season 1 with the Master, and season 2 with Angelus, season 3 with Faith, season 4 with the Initiative, season 5 with Glory, and then this one.
I don't know. You're putting me on the spot, but
I'll answer.
Go ahead.
Right now, this is my favorite, but only because of the last four episodes.
You know what? You're right. The last four episodes, three even, brought it back, because there are parts of the season that you could probably skip and you wouldn't miss the big point of this season arc, you know?
Well, at the beginning of Two to Go, he says this is what happened this year, so you could just watch that one.
Yeah, you could totally watch that. True. Although there's also the Once More with Feeling was on this season.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. That's so true.
I
listened to the whole thing again yesterday.
I can tell you what my least favorite calendar. Season is.
This one.
I don't know what my favorite. It's weird because I have mixed feelings about the Glory season.
Uh-huh.
Because as far as Big Bads go, she was my favorite because she was also deliciously hilarious. And the Minions, I don't know, for some reason, I was just so intrigued by the whole thing. But then at the end, you know, Dawn was around and there was the brain sucking. So now, I don't know. I find myself longing for the good old days. Like season like the high one school and years. Two. Yeah.
That's a popular opinion. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of people who have, you know, the show for me is over at season three, or the show for me is over at season five, or season five and also the musical, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Dawn and the musical and this whole ham-handed drug magics thing. Those things have totally, not completely turned me off, because of course, I mean, I'm not quitting. I mean, I want to see how this whole thing plays out. But if I was watching, and I think I've said this before, if I was watching it in real life without having committed to this podcast, I would have stopped watching it a long time ago. Because if I stop enjoying a television show, because it's only a television show, that's all it is. It's just entertainment. Uh-huh. If I stop enjoying,
what? How dare you?
Yeah. You're a serious business.
If it stops entertaining me, then I'm done, and I would have been done with this.
Well, I think you'll like season seven.
I get torn sometimes because there are times when I'm like, oh, I wish this show would grow up and not be so childish and be, you know, lean more toward the angel type of things where they're a little bit darker. But then I'm like, oh, man, I wish they'd just go back to being in high school when everything was fun and light and this and that. So I'm torn between the two, and it's confusing. And I mean, not confusing, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I think with me, I think my thing is, like, I have no issue with suspending disbelief, but I find myself, it's easier to do it when there's automatically wackier circumstances. And what's a wackier circumstance than being young and in high school? I feel like I can buy supernatural things more if it has a less realistic kind of like backdrop. I don't know, like when you're, I mean, which is kind of weird because I like the show Supernatural, but they're always in weird places and there's always something a little off about it. And you know, with them growing up and being out in the real world, it doesn't seem right. And then too, we all know I've kind of had a beef ever since they jumped networks, and the show feels different. It looks different. I feel the direction seems completely different than it was before. It's not my show. My show is seasons 1 through 3. That's my show. This isn't my show anymore. Oh my god! Yeah. I just jumped out of camp. Oh my god! I'm camp earlier season. Holy shit!
My show is seasons 1 through 7, and then don't read the comics.
Deal.
Yeah, the death of Jenny Calendar that season was pretty damn awesome. It was really, really, really well done, well put together. I still want to know what the fuck Angel was doing in hell.
I wish you guys were still watching Angel.
We will be.
We just, you know, we had to slow down this podcast before we stopped doing the other one. Robin, you know, listen. Listen to me. If I knew that we were going to even be releasing this slower now, then I'm sorry, man. You must be like, I don't know. Did you plot out when we'd be done with this and you were expecting a New Year's Eve present and we get back to Redemption Cast? It's going to be a while.
Maybe sorry. Next New Year's.
How many episodes in season 7, guys?
New Year's 2016.
22? It's not like 415 episodes left in season 7 and that's the big joke?
Well, if you guys do commentaries, there might be 400.
Hey, it's Steph. Steph, when the fuck are we going to find out what the fuck potentials soon. Means?
Somebody has the same ringtone as me.
Because I'm like, I'm on another podcast now. It's an intro cast for Press Gang, and it's called The Last Word. And I don't know why it's called The Last Word.
Yeah, potentials will be around the corner-ish.
That's my thing.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
I just hope it's a good payoff. Yeah, let's
do it. That's right.
My brain has shut down.
Yeah. Mine did an hour ago.
All right. Let's wake up the brain. I'm going to give this episode 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 what? 8 out of 10. You got to be kidding me with that stupid temple.
Wow.
Points off for the crappy temple. Points off for the ridiculous, awkward laughter. And that's it. 8 out of 10. You know what brought it back up? You know what brought it back up? The giant surprise that Spike's getting a soul. That's basically it.
Agreed.
No, and I still hate Dawn.
Yeah. I'll give it. I don't know. I really like this finale. So 9 out of 10. Resolutions by love.
No.
Invitation to love.
Wow.
I was all set to give this a 9 out of 10, but after we've discussed it, I've dropped it down to 8. Mm-hmm. Just because I totally blocked out that laughter. And it made me so angry watching it that I was like, what the hell is going on? And why would he be laughing at them? Anyways, it doesn't matter. We don't need to rehash it. I honestly love Dark Willow. I didn't mind so much the scene with Xander and the yellow crayons because I thought it was an unexpected turn that someone without powers can defeat or neutralize someone with all the powers. I did not expect that at all. And I did have my rating system, and I'm going to keep it 8 out of 10 yellow crayons because I can't think of anything more.
Oh, you stole my rating system.
Okay. Yeah, okay, never mind. No.
I was going to rate this the same as its predecessor, and then we were recording if that damn in the truck thing.
Oh, just can I change my
what is it, 10 seconds or whatever, just made my stomach turn. And then the awkward laughing. I don't know. There was just so much. But I didn't tune out as much in this episode as I did in the last one with all the fighting, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. So I'm going to give it 6 instead of 7, like I was going to give it. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 Wizard of Oz reference.
Wow.
Beauty.
Okay. It didn't. It was such a meh. With the exception of the hey, you get your soul back. Other than that, it was just such a meh finale.
Yeah, if you're not invested in those particular elements.
And this season, I was just not against.
Yeah. We've noticed.
Yeah, sorry. I know what. Screw it. I'm not apologizing. It's my opinion.
No, yeah. You have your opinions.
Yep.
Don't.
Opinions make the world go round.
Nope. Everybody can have.
Actually, that's
money. Sorry. Oh, no.
Momentum.
I put it to my microphone.
Gravity.
Uh-oh. I have 2% battery left.
Uh-oh.
All right. Hey, that's what we thought. Let us know what you think. Kim, how can they reach us?
Potentialcast@gmail.com. Twitter @potentialcast. Facebook.com/potentialcast. Done.
I rate it 13 out of 10 Sarah McLachlan songs.
13 out of 10. Nice. Oh, I'm sorry. We stepped over your whole rating system.
Sorry I cut you off, Nick. I thought
No, that's fine.
gone.
This is my favorite season, was the only other thing I would say. And I consider all three villains, two to go and Grave, to be kind of the finale. But I give it 13 out of 10. Although, if I had to rate just Grave, I'd probably give it only a 10. But, and honestly, I would think maybe the next finale would be better if it was just Grave and not villains and two to go.
Interesting.
So look forward to that.
Interesting. Opinion spoilers! Beware! He's telling us what he thinks about something we haven't seen yet.
That's hilarious, pet peeve. Come on, have you listened to the show?
I was one of the first people to get up in arms about opinion spoilers when in season two, everyone was like, oh, Jonathan. I'm like, stop pointing out, Jonathan. The fun is to go back and realize he was there.
True.
Yeah,
but it's okay. Steph, what's on the slate for next time?
Next time, season 7 lessons.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I can't wait.
You're going to love it.
We're going to be taken to school.
I wonder if we'll learn anything.
Learn some things.
Quote time. Anyone?
I do. I have a quote. Hold on.
Okay.
Xander!
Okay. Look out, Rupert. I've gone pro.
Oh!
Nice.
Ooh, I got one. Uh-oh, Daddy's home. I'm in wicked trouble now.
My favorite!
Yeah, the wicked trouble. Great. I'm blonde now. Blonde.
Thanks a lot for coming. It was good of you to teleport all this way. Though in retrospect, it probably would have been better if you hadn't come and given Willow all that magic that made her like 10 times more powerful. That would have been a plus.
That was awesome. Nick, thanks for joining us. Can people get in touch with you? Do you have any things out there like podcasts or websites or anything you want to plug?
Season 4, Episode 6, Wild at Heart. Mooncaps.tumblr.com is like the only thing I update regularly right now, and that's 99% Sailor Moon, so
nice.
Not relevant to most people's interests. And Twitter, NB1316.
Nice. N as in Nick, B as in Bert. All of you 7 people watching us on YouTube, we love you.
I'm sorry.
Good night. Goodbye. Bye.
I love you.
Dazzle.
I love you.
It won't matter.
I love you.
Boy.
Namaste.
Alrighty. We'll be right back.
can make it now. Let me look into the sun goes down. I believe in the God
good. Give me one second here.
No, I can't. I don't know how to get back to where I get back.
Is my volume all right and everything? I haven't used this mic before.
All Your good. Volume is really good, actually. I'll let you know publicly.
Okay.
That's my thing. All right, I'm starting the broadcast. Steph, are you ready?
Yes.
Well, we can see you and hear you. Can you hear us and see us?
I don't know. Aww. Oh, hold on.
We'll wait for you.
My nose is stopped up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here it is. Okay. I don't know where.
Uh-oh, what's that buzzing noise?
Okay, I need
Sounds
to stop.
Sounds like a mic is loose. Things. There's a buzzing noise.
I'm not hearing it, so it's probably mine.
It's coming from Google Hangout. Hold on.
It's gone now. That's weird.
If it returns, I shall kill it.
And,
there we go. Okay. Okay. You're ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Go. Okay.
One ready moment, to go,
one
Illyria?
One moment.
Oh, you gotta play
Sorry.
The music.
I didn't expect you so fast.
That's what she said. Oh!
Hey now.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.